This week, Boston Public School educators are engaging in a week of action around racial justice as part of a nationwide effort called Black Lives Matter at School. Adopted by the Boston Teachers Union, the initiative includes lessons about the guiding principles of structural racism, Black identity and history, and the tenets of the Black Lives Matter movement. The president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association issued a letter protesting the week of action in the schools and calling Black Lives Matter an, quote, anti-police organization, end quote. The letter also urges Boston Teachers Union President Jessica Tang to reconsider the union's decision to support Black Lives Matter. Jessica Tang is on the phone with us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jessica.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And to help us have this conversation, we also have on the line Eddie Crispin, president of the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers, also known as MAMLEO. Eddie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And on the line is former Boston Police Chief Daniel Linsky, who's now managing director for Kroll, a security risk management practice, and a fellow at the Duff and Phelps Institute. Welcome back, Chief.
Thanks for having me.
And I do want to note we reached out to the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association and Boston Police Commissioner William Gross to join us today, but we didn't hear back from either of them in time for this segment. Before we start, we also want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Is it appropriate to be focusing on a Black Lives Matter-oriented set of actions and curriculums in the school? Does the Boston Police Union have a point in making an objection to it? What do you think? Join the conversation. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the letter, and I do want to get to that soon. But before we do, Jessica, I think it would be helpful to just hear what is happening in the schools this week and who's doing it.
Sure. So just as way of background, this is actually being organized by actually over 40 different cities, education in 40 different cities. And it started in Seattle. And I think the background is necessary for understanding why this came to be and what the goals are of the Week of Action. And in short, it started in Seattle at the elementary school where there was an event called Black Men Uniting to Change the Narrative and Celebrating Black History and Black Lives Matter. And as a result of that event, there was a bomb threat sent to the school. And so thousands of educators then later, as part of the racial justice work we do in schools, wanted to stand in solidarity with that school. And so they had a day of action. And this day of action has since 2016 grown into a week of action. It spread to other places like Philadelphia.
So, Jessica, what does that mean, a week of action? Help people understand what's happening and where and by whom.
Sure. So educators, you know, are coming together to teach about inclusivity, about
and are they teaching students in classrooms or is this teaching each other in professional development?
It's actually both. And so if you, and this I think is important too, is that there seems to be a conflation of, you know, this being BLM, so it must be anti-police, and that's not what it's about at all. In fact, if you go to the Black Lives Matter at Schools website, you'll see what the suggested lesson plans are and what the values are. And, you know, for example, day one is about restorative justice, loving empathy, and loving engagement. And so, you know, we're trying to teach students, you know, what is restorative justice? If you do something that harms somebody, instead of just saying sorry and walking away, how do you actually repair the harm that's done and how do you make better choices? That's what restorative justice is about, for example.
All right. So I think that gives us a little bit of a sense of what you're working on this week. And we will come back more to the curriculum. But before we do that, to finish out the context of our conversation, now I want to turn our attention to the letter. We cannot get the full letter from the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. We did reach out to them. There was an excerpt in the Boston Globe, and that excerpt reads, quote, policing has always been a dangerous profession, but groups like Black Lives Matter, by inaccurately demonizing police as racists who kill innocent people, have made policing more dangerous than ever before, end quote. Chief Linsky, let me bring in you in next here. What is your reaction to that letter, especially in regards to what you just heard from Jessica Tang?
Yeah, so my reaction is, you know, I think it's always better to have a conversation before you put pen to paper. And I think what Michael was writing from is, you know, unless you've met with and sat down with Black Lives Matter, members who are trying to move the engagement down the field, you might have the misperception that it's the Black Lives Matter that plays out in social media, where in fact individuals try and radicalize you know, what are peaceful people trying to change things and engage in conversations with it, threatening police officers. You know, we've seen video of police officers, people chanting about, you know, frying pigs like bacon. And if that's the experience you have and you don't know the other side of the movement where there are good people doing the right thing, trying to change our conversation and change the way we police ourselves and keep our community safe, well, including the communities of color in that conversation, you might tend to think that, you know, you need to write the letter as quickly as possible. I wish, you know, maybe a conversation could have occurred between the two presidents beforehand to see what the curriculum was, what was going to be on it before there was a letter put to paper. Because in the end, the police officers I know have the same goals as the leaders of Black Lives Matter, who are trying to teach kids and teach our society about disparate impacts the current policing system has on communities of color.
So let's.
But I think.
Well, I'd like to just. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
But I think a lot of people think, you know, police are responsible for unconscious bias in society, and there are definitely prejudiced police officers, like there's prejudiced teachers, like there's prejudiced talk show hosts. But the majority of the cops don't have prejudices, but do, like every human being, have an unconscious bias. And because of that, we need to develop systems where we don't get our feelings hurt when someone criticizes us. We look at the data and figure out a solution going forward jointly together on how to make things better.
All right, Eddie, let me turn to you now. MAMLEO put out a joint statement with the Boston chapter of the NAACP in support of the Boston's Teachers Union doing this. So what is your take on the letter and the situation that we're in at this moment?
Well, I think what's concerning to me is that, even before I found out about the letter, a number of my members started calling me because they were somewhat bothered by the letter and that it depicted them as part of the 1,400 members of the BPPA, and that they felt like they were being portrayed as having the same mindset, the same perspective on Black Lives Matter, whereas many of them, actually every single person that called me, does not agree in any way with the union president's take on Black Lives Matter. Every single person that called me, aligns themselves with Black Lives Matter, despite the fact they're police officers. I think the takeaway should have been, let's have a conversation. I think a lot of them, we're in the schools. They interact with young kids who may have anti-police sentiments, but the idea is always to have a conversation and change their minds. I think by trying to silence the conversation, that's the problematic part for me.
Jessica, do you agree?
The silencing of any conversation that can lead to productive dialogue, yes, I find problematic as well. And again, that's part of the reason that we are doing this, is to spark dialogue, conversations, understanding, learning, and, of course, to affirm our Black students, Black educators, and Black families that we work with.
So what is at odds here? Let's talk about this for a second, because, I mean, this is a conversation that our American community, our Boston community, has been engaged in for a while now. And it feels like what's being pitted here is the safety and efficacy of police officers and the rights of people to claim and teach about systemic bias and long-term oppression of Black Americans. Do those things need to be at odds or in tension? Chief Linsky?
So I think there's an educational piece. And myself, when groups would come out and say, hey, you guys racially profile people of color or communities of color, I would say, we absolutely don't. I don't know police officers who leave the station and say, I'm going to get this person because of the color of their skin, the sexuality, their age. And when someone says to you that you do that, that must mean that you're part of a racist class, right?
But there has been a history of racial profiling broadly.
Let me continue. However, when you look at the stats, you see, wait a minute, there's a problem here. There is a challenge here. Maybe we're not all consciously doing policing where it negatively impacts the community. We're not doing racial profiling, but unconsciously we certainly are. And the police are the end of that spear. Sometimes they're getting out of the police cars and approaching people, and they may make decisions based on the color of their skin. They may make decisions based on they've seen this person involved in activity before. Or a lot of times I think the unconscious bias is bigger than us. We respond to 911 calls where people say there's a suspicious kid outside my house. And the reason he's suspicious is he doesn't look like the other kids in the neighborhoods. There's no filter for police to not take that call. We respond to that call, and we have to engage that kid and say, hey, what are you doing here? And he says, I just moved in. We're the ones who are on the end of that, and we're the ones who are delivering that bias. But that bias is in society, not just law enforcement. I think it's educating law enforcement on that, and it's educating the community on law enforcement's, you know, general desire to do the right thing from most cops that I've ever worked with.
Let's add a caller voice here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Michael's on the line from Dedham. Michael, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm a elementary school teacher in a small local school district, and I've been following the developments of Black Lives Matter at school online and really excited about it, but nervous and reluctant to push anything forward in my district because I feel that the dynamics between schools and the community and local police are so different in a smaller town as opposed to in a city like Boston.
Okay, thanks for that, Michael. I'm actually going to add another caller in here. We've got Chris on the line from Roslindale. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, so I'm the 2015 National Elementary Social Studies Teacher of the Year.
Congratulations,
and social studies well, I say that because nationally we need to encourage teachers to teach real history and the experience of the children we're teaching. And Black Lives Matter is simply saying we need to understand the experience of black people. And I want to also point out that the BPPA is, if you read their own publications, is clearly has racist bias. Read Pax Centurion. That's their publication. Read their description of Obama. Read their description.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to pick it up from there because I want to make sure that we've got time for responses. Eddie, I'd love to invite you.
Yeah, so let me speak to that. I don't disagree with the caller. I think there's a history there in the union as it being a predominantly white male-oriented institution. Its leadership has always historically been white, right? And I know myself and a number of other members of MAMLE have complained to the union about the scant of a lot of the articles and even some of the postings that have been, and even some of the candidates that they've endorsed. Problem being that very few times are any of the officers of color consulted, right? So that's a whole different issue. But if we want to stick to this issue of Black Lives Matter, I'm looking at this pamphlet. I think it might have been a knee-jerk reaction, right? It says it has these four demands for Black Lives Matter Education Week: zero tolerance, discipline, and implementing restorative justice, hiring more black teachers, mandating black history and ethnic studies and K-12 curriculum, fund counselors, not cops, and then that's really the bulk of it. So for me, I don't have any issues with any of those. I would like to engage in a further conversation with the part about funding counselors, not cops, because obviously there's a need for both of them, right?
Well, so we've got Jessica right here. Let's do a little of that engagement. Jessica, Eddie, tell Jessica what you're thinking there, and Jessica, I invite you to respond.
So my thinking is this. Police officers respond to schools on a daily basis. We have police officers who are in the schools who do a lot of the investigation, engage with the children in the school and serve as mentors, coaches, teachers, et cetera. The idea that we should not have police officers is flawed, and I think it needs further investigation, but I think it's a conversation worth having. Absolutely, we need more counselors, but the idea of not funding cops at all, police officers, we go to schools. There's a school right down the street. The last few days, they've been having problems. So the people who have responded have been police officers who are assigned to the school police unit and police officers assigned to the district. There's clearly a need for it, but I think, again, for me, that's not the biggest issue. I think we have to look at it as a whole and see that it is absolutely necessary to have these kind of conversations.
All right, let's grab Jessica. Jessica, please.
Sure. So I want to be clear, too. The national, I think, demand of fund counselors was around the idea that a lot of times when there's problem in schools, there is a knee-jerk reaction, you know, to call the police. But what happens, and this is speaking to what we call the school-to-prison pipeline, is oftentimes a disturbance at a school assembly, for example, we think should be handled in-house by, the school and in using, again, practices like restorative practices where we figure out, you know, like, what is the behavior? What is the root of that behavior? How do we repair the harm as opposed to getting that student involved in, you know, the criminal justice system, which then often, again, leads to further problems. And so I think that was the intent, was to say, hey, you know, it's not to say we don't have issues in schools. It's not to say there's not an important role for first responders and police. But when we have limited funds and we have schools, you know, who have to pick between a librarian and a counselor or, you know, a special ed teacher or a phys ed teacher, that we want to emphasize the importance of funding counselors. We don't mm-hmm. have a counselor in all of our schools in Boston Public Schools right now.
So Jessica,
that was the intent. It was never meant, I think, to be derogatory in nature or to say that there's no role for police officers. And I think maybe that's where the misunderstanding comes from.
So I want to be mindful of time. We've only got about 2 minutes left, and I want to hear from all three panelists one more time. I know that out there is a caller saying that an emphasis on Black Lives Matter means that we're failing to emphasize the fact that everyone's lives matters. That's often an answer we hear to Black Lives Matter is all lives matter. Where is the appropriate emphasis as we have a dialogue about law enforcement and race in Boston on the history of the Black experience versus a broader empathy that we need to teach our young people?
Yeah. So for me, I will say this.
Go ahead, Eddie, and then Chief Linsky.
I think it's important to have some historical perspective on this issue, right? And my letter that I, in a joint statement I put out with the NAACP, and a letter I sent to the BPP, president spoke to that. There's a lot of history of Black and brown people and poor people being mistreated by law enforcement in this country. No one can deny that. And to some extent, and also speaking to what the chief was speaking about earlier, about how we're just a microcosm of society, right? Society has all these biases.
Eddie, I'm just going to push you on time because we're running short.
Just real quickly, again, we have to look at the historical perspective, and then we also have to look at the way society views people. Until we get to the point where we no longer have those biases, and unless we can erase the history, we have to have a conversation.
Thanks. And Chief Linsky, 30 seconds tops. What do you got?
Yes, so this was a missed opportunity for both sides. We can't have we need to have this conversation with kids in school about the history and how police have negatively impacted communities of color. We need to include the police in that conversation. We all have our own sides. We need to check our egos, come to the table. We all have the same goals. We want to keep kids safe and police people professionally. And everyone that I know of who's involved in this conversation has that same goal. It was a missed opportunity to have that conversation before the letter went out. However, we can make it an opportunity now and get all sides to the table to figure out the best solution and how we talk to our kids and how we police our communities.
All right, that's former Boston Chief Police Chief Daniel Linsky, who's now a managing director for Kroll, a security risk management practice. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We had Jessica Chang, president of the Boston Teachers Union. Jessica Chang, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Eddie Crispin, president of the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers, also known as MAMLEO. Eddie, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.